And I preach the second part of the message that I started this morning. Remember, we were talking about the pictures that the Bible paints of salvation. And we talked about the picture that Jesus painted in John chapter 3 when he told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. In order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And there's much that we can learn from physical birth about spiritual birth. There's much we can learn from our first birth about that second birth that we need to have. And this morning I mentioned four things, just mention them briefly tonight for those that weren't here so you can sort of catch up. My first point was that the only way to have life, the only way to have human life is to be born. To be born. And the only way to have spiritual life is to be born again. Second point was that the birthee has no part to play in the birth. When you were born physically, you played no part. And when you are born spiritually, you play no part. All you have to do is receive it. God did everything. Jesus did everything. The Holy Spirit does everything. I said number three, when you are born physically, you are born complete. You don't have to come back later to get more parts. You get them all the first time. You get them all when you're born. And salvation, when you get saved, it's done. It's complete. Nothing needs to be added to it. You don't need to add anything to it. It's done. Now, again, we ought to grow. We ought to mature. Things ought to change in our life. All things become new. But we're saved the second after we're saved, as much as we are when we've been saved 10 years, 15 years, 25 years. And then number four, birth is final. Once you become a child of God, you are a child of God forever. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that God can do, nothing that any other man can do, nothing that Satan can do. You are a child of God, just like you are a child of your parents forever and ever and ever, and nothing can change that. You are a child of God forever and ever and ever. And so tonight I want to add five things. These are more geared toward Christians. That just reminds us of, again, some things that physical birth teaches us about spiritual birth. So, number one tonight is that birth involves a kingdom. When you are born physically, you enter the human kingdom. When you are born spiritually, you enter the kingdom of God. And I mentioned this morning, those people that keep track of everything and measure different things tell us there's five different kingdoms. There is the mineral kingdom. So that's all the nutrients in the ground. That's gas, that's oil, that's gold, that's silver. That's everything that God has put in to this earth. Then there's the vegetable kingdom. Okay? So that includes potatoes and tomatoes and okra and turnip greens and green beans and all your favorite vegetables. They're included in the vegetable kingdom. Then there's the animal kingdom, dogs, cats, cows, pigs, chickens, all the different animals. Then there's the human kingdom, the kingdom that we live in. And then there's the divine kingdom, the kingdom of God. And I want to point out something to you tonight. God has an unalterable law, a law that cannot be broken, a law that cannot be changed when it comes to these kingdoms. And here's the law. Nothing from a lower kingdom, and I'll start with the mineral kingdom as the lowest and work our way up to the divine kingdom, the kingdom of God as the highest. Nothing in the lower kingdom can move up to a higher kingdom on its own. A mineral can't move to become a vegetable on its own. A vegetable can't move up and become an animal on its own. An animal can't move up and become a human on its own. A human can't move up and become part of that kingdom of God on its own. That's an unalterable law. That's a law that cannot be changed. But something in a higher kingdom can reach down to a lower kingdom, pluck it up, and move it up. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, vegetable, or grass, let me use grass. Grass, which is in the vegetable kingdom, can reach down and pull nutrients or minerals out of the soil. So somebody in the vegetable kingdom can take somebody in the mineral kingdom and pull them up. Somebody in the animal kingdom can reach down to the vegetable kingdom and pull it up. So as grass pulls nutrients out of the earth, a cow eats the grass. And then somebody from the human kingdom can reach down to the animal kingdom and pull it up. We eat the cow. Amen, Brother Paul? Are you listening? Amen, okay. So again, nobody or nothing can move up on its own, but somebody in that higher kingdom can reach down and pull somebody from a lower kingdom up. Again, the grass pulls nutrients out of the soil. The cow eats the grass. We eat the cow. Amen. Come on, you guys. Are you awake tonight? Amen. Amen. This is deep preaching, ain't it? That's exactly what God did to us when he saved us. There's no way we as human beings could raise ourselves up and become part of that kingdom of God. But God was able to reach down to that lower kingdom of man and pull us up and make us part of that heavenly kingdom, make us part of that divine kingdom, make us part of that kingdom of God. We sing the song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me out of that human kingdom where I was destined to spend all my eternity, lifted me into that kingdom of God where now I can spend eternity with him. Safe am I. Love lifted me. And so tonight, if you've been born again, God has reached down and pulled you up from that human kingdom and made you part of the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You want to see the kingdom of God? You must be born again. Number two, birth determines our nature. Birth determines our nature. And so when a cow has a cow, that cow has a cow nature. Are you with me? Shake your head if you're with me. I know this is deep. You got to stay with me. When a goat has a goat that is born has a goat nature. When a dog has a dog that is born has a dog nature. A dog is not a dog because he barks. He barks because he's a dog. I can bark better than some dogs, but it doesn't make me a dog. What makes a dog bark is that dog nature. That dog nature. How a person lives does not make them a Christian. There may be better people in the world than all of us here tonight. But just because they live a better life does not make them a Christian. God's not interested in how good we are. He's interested in our nature, and our birth determines our nature. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, when we get saved, we become partakers in the divine nature. When we get born again, we are born with that divine nature, that new nature. Now, unfortunately, when we get that new nature, the old nature doesn't go away. We still fight that old nature. And there's a constant battle going on between our old nature and our new nature. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We still have that old nature, and sometimes that old nature wins, and we do things we shouldn't do, or we don't do things that we should do. But our birth determines our nature. And when we got born again, we became partakers of a divine nature. Now, our nature is important. Because our nature determines our appetites. You see, I don't have the same appetite as a cat. I mean, there's three cats in my house. I don't like any of them. And I don't like their food. I do not have an appetite for cat food. Because I don't have a cat nature. Okay? I don't like bird food. I mean, I don't like the stuff that birds eat. Why? Because I do not have a bird nature. I don't like what cows eat. And I can go, the list goes on and on and on. But listen, our nature determines our appetite. And when we become partakers of that divine nature, God gives us a new appetite. He gives us an appetite for the Bible. He gives us an appetite for church. He gives us an appetite for the things of God. We didn't have those appetites before we got saved. We didn't have those appetites before we got born again. We didn't have those appetites until we got saved and became part of the kingdom of God. And we became part of that. We got that divine nature, and that divine nature means we have new appetites. Now again, the old ones don't go away. We have to keep pushing those down. We have to keep suppressing those. But God gives us new appetites determined by our nature. Our nature also determines our associates. You've heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. Who do dogs like to hang around with? Now, I know there are some strange relationships sometimes, but most of the times, dogs like to run with dogs, and cats like to run with cats, and pigs like to run with pigs, and chickens like to run with chickens. I know there's some exceptions to that, but that's how it works most of the time. As Christians, when we get born again and when we partake of that divine nature, that nature determines who our associates should be. That nature says that we ought to run with people that are like us, that people that have been born again, that are part of the kingdom of God. The friends, and Carol touched on it in her testimony tonight, the friends that we have before we got saved, something ought to happen to that relationship. The friends that we ought to have when we get that divine nature are the ones that have the same nature that we do, that have been born again, that have been partakers of that divine nature. Most of the time, and you've heard this said, a good apple won't make a bad apple good. Doesn't work that way. Usually a bad apple makes a good apple bad. And that's why it's so important when we get that new nature and that heavenly nature, we need to watch who we run around with. We need to watch who we spend our time with. Our nature ought to determine not only our appetites, but our associates. And then our nature ought to determine our environment. You won't find a fish in the desert. You won't find a bird in the ocean. Their nature determines where they spend their time. A bird will be in the air. A fish will be in the ocean. And our environment, when we get that divine nature, ought to be different. The places that we want to go, the places that we spend our time, the places that we get our enjoyment from when we become partakers of that divine nature ought to be different than the places that we went when we had the old nature. It ought to change. And so our nature determines where, not only our appetites and our associates, but also determines our environment. Number three, birth cancels the past. Birth cancels the past. A baby is born without a past. I know, they spend time in the womb. I know all that. But I'm talking about when a baby's born, they don't have a past. There's two places that people don't get arrested. People don't get arrested at the funeral home because they're dead. And they don't get arrested in the nursery at the hospital because they don't have a past. There's nothing that they should be arrested for. When we got born again. Oh, some of you hillbillies are rubbing off on me. Too much banana pudding. When we When we got, no, I'll never have too much banana pudding. Keep it coming. But anyhow, when we got born again, our past was canceled. Just like a newborn baby doesn't have a past, when we get born again, our past is canceled. We are justified by God. Our sins are forgiven, forgotten, just as if we've never sinned. I know some Christians, they told me, said, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to apologize to God. I said, what are you going to apologize to God for? I said, for all my sins. I tell them, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go up to God and say, I want to apologize for this and this and this and this. And he's going to say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't know anything about that. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, the Bible says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. And when we get born again, when we get saved, our past is canceled and we get a fresh start. Number four, birth brings us from darkness to light. 9 months in the womb, spent in darkness, born into the light. How is it a person, before they get saved, can read the Bible and they say, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand what God's talking about. I just don't get it. And then they get saved and they say, hey, I get it. I can understand what God's trying to say. Doesn't come all at once, don't get me wrong. I mean, you don't get complete revelation the moment you get saved, but you start to get it. And again, George has been a blessing to me as he's reading his Bible. He's finished it once, by the way, working on it the second time. He says, just the different things he comes up with, and he says, preacher, boy, it must have been something when they did that, or something when they did that. Now, I didn't know George before he was saved, but my guess is he didn't have much to do with the Bible. And if he had anything to do with the Bible, he'd be one of those guys that say, I don't get it. I don't get it. But when George got saved, he went from, like all of us did, he went from darkness to light. We were in the darkness of the devil. We didn't understand the word of God. But when we got born again and came into the light, we can say, hey, I get it. I get it. How is it before a person's saved, they can make fun of Jesus? They can make fun of the gospel. They can make fun of the church and want nothing to do with any of them. And then they get saved and they fall in love with Jesus. They fall in love with the gospel and they fall in love with the church. What makes the difference? They go from darkness to light. From darkness to light. Everywhere the gospel goes, everywhere that people get saved, things get better. Bible says we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the world. And if we as Christians will do what we're supposed to do and share the gospel and people get saved, things will get better. Our world will get better. Our government will get better. Our homes will get better. Our workplaces, our neighborhoods. Why? Because when people get born again, they move from darkness to light. From darkness to light. And then number five, there is travail involved with birth. Travail. I remember when our daughter was born, we went to the hospital at 6 p.m. And 26 hours later, at 8 o'clock the next night, she was born. It's the roughest 26 hours I spent in my whole life. And I had the easy part. But there, in most births, there is some degree of travail. I want to remind you tonight, the same is true about spiritual births. There's no travail in ours. All we have to do is receive it. But for other people to see it, we have to travail for them. For other people to get born again. For other people to get saved. There are prayers that must be prayed. There is witness that must be offered. There is consistent living that must be lived. There are tears that must be shed. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 126, verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And so there's travail involved to see other people get born again. And so I just ask you tonight, what's that worth? How much travail is it worth for somebody else to be born again? How much travail would it be worth for a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a parent or a grandparent for them to be born again, for them to be saved? How many prayers would you pray? How many times would you tell them about Christ? I was talking to one of the folks I was with in the hospital this afternoon. They were telling me about one member of their family. Most of their family's saved, but there's one son-in-law that's not saved. And they told me about all the different people that come up and just sort of poke them. Say, you know, you need to get saved. You need to receive Christ. You need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You need to get born again. They pray for him. They weep for him. But how many prayers would you pray for your son or daughter? How many tears would you weep for your son or daughter? How many times would you tell them? I know the answer. Those are rhetorical questions. You'd pray every prayer that needed to be prayed. You'd weep every tear that needed to be wept. You'd witness every time you need to witness. That's travail. And travail is involved in spiritual birth. So Jesus said, ye must be born again. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to go to heaven, ye must be born again. There's no other way. You can't, just like you can't become a human without being born, you can't get into the kingdom of God without being born again. So two questions tonight, and I'm done. Number one, are you born again? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Now, as I look around and I look from face to face, I think everybody here tonight is saved. I mean, from your testimony, I mean, I don't have any question about anybody except for maybe those two little guys that are sitting back there next to Tony. I don't know if they've come to that. I think Miguel has, but I don't know about Ty. But the rest of you, by your own testimony, I think you're saved. I praise God for that. And so you have been born again. You are on your way to heaven. You are partakers of that new nature. Here's my second question. Who do you know that needs to be born again? Who do you know that needs to be born again? Every single one of us knows somebody. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe many. We know somebody that needs Jesus as their Savior. We need to travail for them. We need to pray. We need to witness. We need to live a consistent life before them. We need to weep. And we need to just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Every now and then I think about Helen and I think about Harold and Betty. Year after year after year after year, she would pray. She would poke them, tell them they need. And I use that term affectionately. I don't mean to hurt them, but I mean just to poke them. Like my grandma did to me. You need to get saved. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. She just poked me and poked me and poked me and poked me. And somebody poked you. They kept poking you until you got born again. But year after year after year after year after year, she didn't give up. Kept poking, kept praying, kept telling them about Jesus, kept inviting them to church. And one day, they both asked Jesus to save them. We had the privilege of baptizing both of them, well up in years. So I tell you that, remind you that, just tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. You say, preacher, you don't know my son-in-law or my grandson or my son or my daughter. They're a hard case. so were you. So was I. We were hard cases. But we got a God that can win the hard cases. We got a Savior that died for the hard cases. So you just keep poking. You just keep praying. You just keep witnessing. You just keep weeping. Because that verse is a promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, no doubt, come again, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the pictures of salvation you put in this book so that we can understand it. And again, Father, I pray tonight that we're all saved. If we're not, if there's somebody here that's not sure, I pray tonight they'd understand they're a sinner and they would come and ask Jesus to save them. And then, Father, I pray for us as Christians. I pray. We all know somebody that needs to be born again, somebody that needs to be saved. I pray that we wouldn't give up. We keep doing what you've told us to do, instructed us to do, commanded us to do. We'd keep telling them about Jesus. And Father, I pray that they would be saved. Bless the invitation tonight. Use it as you see fit for your kingdom. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.